A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, if you want more from us, then please do consider checking out Red Men Plus as a club legend. That is the top tier that gets you extra perks and benefits, access to our exclusive club legend Discord chat. It will also give you free merchandise every year and a whole host of bonus features. Get involved on our club legends show. You can be on a show with the cast and crew of Red Men TV every week and a whole host of extra bonus perks, as well as all the usual brilliant videos and podcasts. Go to redmenplus.com and sign up as a club legend.
Hello, all you wonderful people. Welcome to the Red Men podcast. Steve Ho here with Chris Pajak and Dan Club. We have to talk about the Reds, unfortunately, even though they're a bit crap. But we'll do it in an entertaining way, full of goodness and mirth that will keep you happy or happier, hopefully, by the time we get to it.
Cider, you see.
I can't guarantee you'll be happy, but you'll be happier than you are now.
I'm from the West Country, apparently.
Apparently, I went down south for one day. I'm a farmer. We're going to be talking about...
to London? What the fuck?
I went through some fields and shit. Anyway, we're going to do what we can talk... what we can do to fix the issues, or what we think Liverpool needs to fix what's going on. It's happened. We know we're a bit crap. What can we do to make it better between now and the World Cup? And then later on, we're going to talk about Roberto Firmino, his contact. Roberto Firmino, his contract situation, how he's playing this season and all that. But first, just a couple of quick notes on us. We are on the road to 500,000 subs here on YouTube. If you're watching this live with us now, please do click that subscribe button. If you're watching this later on YouTube again, do the same. And if you listen to this as a podcast, if you can do us a favour, head on over to youtube.com/TheRedMenTV and subscribe and help us get towards that 500k margin. As a competition prize for doing so, as a little thank you for all you wonderful YouTube subscribers, when we hit that famous landmark, we'll give away that signed Ibu Kanate shirt that, if you're watching on YouTube, you probably saw at the start of the show. So yeah, loads going on. It's a really nice landmark for the channel, isn't it, Chris? So it'll be nice when we can get there.
Yeah, it's a long road to 500k.
It's been a while. Yeah, we went off down the back ways a little bit. But listen, it's fine. We're all good.
Through a few fields and shit.
And shit.
Maybe we're all talked out like
this. Fucking Harry Enfield. Fucking hell.
Before we get into what the fuck we can do to fix Liverpool's massive issues.
Kevin over there.
And Roberto Firmino. Kickoff question, very, very simple one this week. I thought I'd go footy related, trying to think of times gone by, happier times gone by. Because remember when Liverpool used to go to Europe and win football matches? Oh, it was joyful.
It was heights of just 6 months ago.
At James Yigitos, I think that's how you say it. Apologies, James, if I butchered your surname. Very, very simple. What's your favourite ground to go to away in Europe, Chris?
I like grounds with a little bit of history and stuff like that, to be honest with you. So it wasn't even in a proper game or anything like that, but we went to visit the Berlin Stadium, the Olympic Stadium in Berlin, when we played Hertha Berlin. It was our 125th year celebrations, and it was their 125th year celebrations at the same time. So we went over there and just seeing that Olympic Stadium, you know what I mean? Being able to walk around it and seeing it empty and stuff, because we got to go and have a little tour before the game and stuff, and just seeing all the fields where all the Olympics were done, because it was the 36 Olympics that it was built for. Obviously the Nazis had just come into power in 33, and they'd built that stadium, I think, to just sort of, it was propaganda basically, wasn't it? And Hitler's seat was higher than every other seat in the ground, because he wanted to be above them all and stuff like that. And he opened those games. It was the Jesse Owen ones, wasn't it, African-American guy who won four gold medals and stuff, didn't he? So it was those ones. And you sort of walk into the area and you can see all these mad statues and stuff, and the end of the pillars that used to be, and other pillars that are all around the ground, and you can just sort of feel the history almost washing over you and stuff. So that for me was just wow, this is amazing, because I love the new stadiums. Like we were talking just before we came on air about Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I think that's brilliant, but I much prefer the old school stadiums that have been there for years and years and years, because you can feel everything that sort of happened in them.
Yeah, for me it's the Allianz in Munich. I'm luckily lucky enough to have been twice. I went to watch Bayern Munich against Wolfsburg a few years before we got there with Liverpool, obviously, in the Sadio Mane goal and the Virgil van Dijk and stuff like that. So yeah, that's probably mine. I love Munich as a city. To be, I love Germany, full stop, actually, I must admit. But Munich's superb. The whole day, the whole experience was absolutely top class. Like, yeah, great food.
That's the best I've ever been treated as an away fan as well.
Yeah, I can see that.
I just thought it was absolutely brilliant. Like, we were mixing with Bayern Munich fans at like little beer huts just outside the ground, having a chat to them.
No animosity whatsoever. And that was the case throughout the day, actually, being in the city. Some places you go, like, I've been to Napoli, I go on about it a lot, but that wasn't the case. I've been to Milan as well. You always feel a little bit on edge, like you're not quite welcome. The opposite in Munich. I thought it was just superb, and obviously the match turned out well as well. And the atmosphere coming out of that ground was probably the best to ever been involved in. I remember walking down the steps.
Bobby Firmino song.
And we seen Sammy Ippia through like some doors. I forget everyone who was there seeing him, because everyone was like onto him, but it was unbelievable. And the stadium itself is top draw as well. Mm. Walking up to it, and it's obviously on top of a hill, isn't it? Almost in the distance.
You can see it from miles around.
And that, oh, it's a phenomenal place. Like, yeah, I loved it.
It's superb, like, absolutely superb.
I love the new camp. But getting cheese, you get cheese there isn't great sometimes, but when you go to the new camp, it's still incredible. I think it's amazing. I love Barcelona. It's a
not for an away fan, though.
That's the difference.
You can't see the fucking pitch.
That's
you're
the
just
problem.
Too far
I've been an away fan, and I've been like a neutral fan when I've been really low down, and I love Barcelona as a city as well. Mm. I actually quite enjoyed Villarreal last year in a different way. It was very intimate and very small, but again, you're behind like a glass thing, and I wish that wasn't there. It'd have been amazing, because you could see how like their fans would go mad, but you couldn't really hear it. Well, it was almost in front of you. So yeah, Germany often is the West in terms of like how you get treated.
Brilliant.
So it really does. But yeah, I went to the Bernabeu and watched us win. That was incredible, absolutely incredible, and the views there are better, so I'll probably end up going with that one. Again, you're not treated amazingly well by Spanish and the Spanish police, I'll give you that. But yeah, watching Liverpool win in the Bernabeu was something like very few. And then the other one, years ago, I went to Celtic Park as a Liverpool fan. That was awesome. And you did get treated nice, like, again, mixing around Glasgow and stuff. There was not really much animosity. The police were relatively all right, from what I remember. I was only young, but I remember like that one as well. So they're the ones I'm going to go for. But yeah, really good question, so thanks very much to James for that one. Right, lads, I've put it off long enough, so I'm going to put it off even a little bit longer. I'm going to talk about what we can do to get all this fixed and get Liverpool back on track between now and, like I say, before that World Cup break, we play Southampton on November 12th. But before we do that, let us go and get our heads together, go and get mentally prepared for this big conversation by letting you guys know about this month's competition prize over on Red Men Plus. So yeah, we'll be back after this quick message with how the hell Liverpool can get out of this big old hole that he dug for themselves. See you in a sec.
Hey, you! Do you like amazing signed Liverpool gear to put on your wall and make yourself look really cool? Then we've got you covered. If you join Red Men Plus as a Club Legend subscriber, we've got an amazing competition prize this month. It is a signed Liverpool home 2013-14 shirt, vintage, signed by Liverpool fullback Glenn Johnson. Yes, every month we have incredible signed prizes and other amazing things to give away to our Club Legend subscribers. They also get access to our Discord. They get first access to Red Men Live show tickets. They get free merchandise and a whole host of extra bonus perks, as well as the incredible content we deliver on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. So head over to redmenplus.com. Either join as a Club Legend, or if you're a club captain, upgrade your subscription to be automatically entered into the draw for that incredible signed Liverpool shirt.
Yeah, there you go. If you want to win the signed shirt and get loads and loads of other benefits as well, mainly some amazing content. If you need cheering up over on redmenplus.com, we've got you covered. Like I say, it isn't the easiest time to be motivated and happy with the Reds. So yeah, come on over, come and join the community. We'll put our arms around each other. We'll get ourselves together and we'll regroup over on redmenplus.com. If you're in the Discord chat, get in there and, like I say, chat it out. Use the Facebook group if you're a subscriber as well. So there's tons going on. And like I say, we've got some amazing content to hopefully cheer you up, because at the moment, the lads on the pitch aren't doing that for us. They're making it worse, if anything else. So we might as well talk about that right now, Chris. I've wrote on the agenda, Liverpool are in a right old pickle. And I think that might be putting it mildly. But what happens happen, we are where we are now. We've got the injuries, we've got the form we're in. Jürgen's pretty much said the other day, we're not in the title race. No shit, we're not in the title race. This season now is about maybe trying to win a trophy if you can and making sure you're in the Champions League next season. I think we'd all agree that's where things have got to very, very quickly. Tons has gone wrong, and the reasons for that are plentiful. First of all, the lack of investment in the summer. I think everyone would agree there was probably a little bit wrong there. An aging squad, maybe we've been a little bit too loyal. There's the injury issues you can't ignore. There's been injuries, there's been tons, but that's gone now. We've got now till November 12th before the World Cup to salvage something out of the season, because if we don't get that, we're going to be knackered. Basically, the season's going to be a write-off before it's anything's done. So, in your mind, what's the first thing Jürgen should be doing to try and just address this slide and fix what we can do? Because we are in a right big old, massive hole, aren't we?
That's a hard question to answer. Like, I think you've got.
What do you think is the biggest issues right now that he can solve? If you're looking at the tactics, I know you'd look at the tactics a lot. What can you see on the pitch and you're thinking he needs to get that? That's the main issue here.
Identity.
Okay.
And I'm not sure he can solve it, to be honest with you. I hate to be like a proper downer on it, but we need to be intense, and it doesn't look like we've got lads that can be intense anymore.
Can I jump in with some breaking news?
Go on.
We were talking before the show about who's the next lad to get injured.
Go on.
It hasn't even got to the game when it's happened.
Go on.
Joel Matip expected to be out for 2 weeks with a calf problem, according to.
How did none of us pick him?
Yeah.
He was front and centre. I mean, it's obvious that it was going to be Joel Matip.
According to James Pearce, Liverpool's injury problem. Deep in Joel Matip expected to be out for 2 weeks with a calf problem. Similar time scale to Trent Alexander-Arnold. So yeah, 2 weeks for Joel, 2 weeks for Trent as well. So that doesn't help. But I suppose going back to where we were a little bit before that one, sorry to interrupt you there, Chris.
I'm human.
At least it wasn't Simicast.
Defensively,
we are just conceding far too many goals.
Yeah, but that comes from the fucking midfield.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you've got to defend as a team, so it comes from the strikers, it comes from the midfield. You look at the way that Arsenal counter-attacked on us the other day. It's too easy all of the time. Like, you know, Hendo and Thiago, I thought, looked really good for 44 minutes either in between their two goals, right? And they looked like they were up for the fight. They looked like they were controlling the game. Second half, they were hungrier, fitter, stronger, had more desire than us. And that's been pretty much played out throughout the entire season so far. So unless you can tell me that Carvalho and Elliot are going to do it, I'm going to tell you that the three lads in the midfield don't have the legs to be able to play at the intensity that Liverpool need for their system to work. So if you haven't got the intensity, you need to change the fucking system and the style of play. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Jürgen's going to be able to do that with no training time, because he's changed the system, but the style of play is still the same. It's still intensity. It's still high press.
Yeah.
We've not got a side that can sit back and defend. Look at what Arsenal did for, you know, the penalty. Like, it was just wave after wave. We couldn't get out. Fabinho has a chance to clear his lines, isn't able to do it and stuff. We're not good at that. We're not good at pressing. So how on earth are we going to change a system that suits the players right now? Because it doesn't look like we've got one. The only thing is he has to change the legs of the players, or he has to change the players come January in the summer.
Yeah, I suppose, Dan, the issue is, like I say, we'd all agree the summer is looking worse and worse. The summer just gone.
Yeah.
It looks like, again, I saw the graphic come up the other day, Liverpool got the 18th oldest squad average age this season, and it showed against Arsenal. Again, you saw the intensity and all that kind of stuff, just legs. Can I just jump in there? Sorry, mate.
I do find it quite baffling about this average age squad thing, because it's 28. Like, historically, you would say the peak players is 27.
Yeah, but it's 28, mate, because there's not many 28-year-olds. It's teenagers and 30-year-olds.
Yeah, but we're living in a world where James Milner's all right and Ronaldo's all right at 37 and players are going on to 40 years old. We've got to expect that the players are going to be able to play for longer.
Yeah.
And so, 30's not fucking dead. You know what I mean? 31's not dead. These players can still do it, absolutely. I mean, how long was Aguero at the top of his game for?
No, but I think...
There's loads of fucking players that go and play that. Whether they're able to do it in the centre of the park, I think, is a different thing.
Yeah. And also, mate, again, like, it's... Not many peak players, and this is what happens then, because again, I think we'd all agree, every time in the summer we were all saying what Liverpool need to do is go and buy lads who are ready to be playing their peak right now.
Yeah.
We haven't got that. We've got youngsters, so you've got your Elliots and your Carvalhos and maybe your Ramseys, and even Trent Alexander-Arnold's a young lad. Mm. And then you've got a lot of 30-year-olds, and there's nothing in the middle. And I do wonder, when you look at Liverpool's midfield options, the only one really who's fit at the moment, who's in those peak ages-ish, is Fabinho. And even he's getting on. It should be Naby Keita. He's never here.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's where we find ourselves. And Chris is right. We just look like in every single game we're second. Fabinho is second to everything. Mm-hmm. Like
sometimes he's third or fourth,
and he's half a yard short. And it isn't just him. Like Jordan Henderson has been awful at times. Mm-hmm. I think at the weekend he wasn't getting shifted out to right wing. It was bad. He hasn't had a good season. Thiago was rubbish the other day, although he's been generally better this year.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like there's many players playing that well. And this is the issue, is that the games are coming thick and fast, so it isn't like Chris said, you can't go back to the drawing board for a week and go, right, we're doing this, and this. The time isn't there, which is why I think everyone's starting to feel, oh my God, this could get worse, because we all understand now the manager hasn't got the time to fix it, but he has to do something, because this just can't continue. So again, is this something that just springs to mind? Well, if we do that, it'll be a marginal improvement, and then we can build up on that.
Not necessarily, no, because I agree with Chris's point in terms of Klopp doesn't really want to change everything. His whole identity, his whole brand is built on intensity, rock and roll football, and that's what's made us so successful for so many years. And he's not going to get rid of that. He's not suddenly going to go, oh, we'll sit back and just defend and soak up pressure, because A, we're not very good at it, and B, it's not within his nature to do so. So I don't see that happening. The main problem for me is it does stem from the midfield, you're right, and the attack isn't firing, the defence isn't firing, the common denominator is the lads in the middle of them, isn't it? Let's be honest. And we started the season with like 6-7 options in midfield. But in reality, that was never the case, because Oxlade-Chamberlain's never going to be there. Naby Keita's never going to be there. Curtis Jones, you could put into that bracket now, unfortunately, as well. In terms of ages, you're right, because none of them, you don't look at any of them apart from probably Milner and go, you should be past it. The problem is all the lads, Henderson, Fabinho and Thiago, have all had injury problems. So that knocks a bit of time off where they should be at in the peak. And they've all played at this high intensity for years now under Klopp, and it's showing. It's really showing.
A 30 for Liverpool, 30.
Like, is older, isn't it?
It might be older. Someone mentioned this in the chat when you were speaking, because I was going to bring it up to you. Like, being 30 for Liverpool might be different than being 30 for Man City. You know what I mean? Like Jordan Henderson, the miles he's done. Mm-hmm. James Milner, they've been flogged to death. Roberto Firmino looks an old 30-odd, you know what I mean? Like, would you go along with that as well? It looks like
no. That might well be the case. Yeah. But I've seen players who play at high intensity and are able to do it for years. My big issue is right now with the midfield, it's not so much the age of them, but like when your legs start to go a little bit, your experience comes into play. We don't look like we've got experienced lads in the middle of the park. They're making stupid mistakes time and time again. Yeah. So, all right, they might have lost half a yard of pace. They can still run 10K a game or 11K a game. You can't tell me that James Milner can't do that. He literally wins the lactate test and we go crazy for it every fucking summer. About him winning the lactate test at 35 years old, his capacity for fucking running, and how he changes that in his body. So that for me is a crock of shit. But when the lads are not using their experience in game, that's when I'm starting to worry. Because how'd you concede in the first minute, and how'd you concede in the 45th minute? It's fucking stupid. Yeah, you've got all experienced players on the pitch, and yet every lad went fucking bombing forwards for the fucking free kick.
We're 4-3. You know, down in that counter-attack situation. That can't be happening. And not right before half-time like that. But you are dead right. But the only thing I would say on that is the lads who we talk about, your Hendersons, your Thiagos in this world, probably can still do it. I'm just not sure
they can do it.
Exactly. I'm not sure they can do it regularly and all the time. And the options to rotate them just aren't there anymore. Like, we can't turn to Keita and go on, you give him half an hour. We're asking them to do it time and time again. And I think that's the problem. In one-off games, they can. We've seen it at the start of the season, Community Shield. Brilliant, we look boss. Straight away, we go into like an intense run of fixtures, and we're just not capable of that intensity anymore.
And that's
anymore.
The problem, isn't it? And the way that Jürgen, for me, changed to the two-man midfield, I liked it against Rangers, I really did. But you've essentially just got rid of Carvalho and Elliot as midfield options.
Yeah.
And that, for me, was a little bit baffling, to be honest, because you've then left yourself with three lads to play two positions who, Henderson, Thiago, Fabinho, you've got concerns over them all.
Yeah.
Which is a bit mad to me. And also, like, you know, why does every team go to three at the back? Because the centre halves are shit. Mm. Well, we've got a three-man midfield that's not dominating games, and we went to a two-man midfield. Like, come on.
No, you're right, yeah.
You're mad.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Fucking put an extra one in the middle if you want, mate. Yeah. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. No, I said something similar from the Emirates yesterday, Sunday, sorry, because it felt like last week after the Rangers game, we changed formation and we won, and everyone was like, oh, here we go, this is it, the whole new dawn, we're going to be sound now. But it turns out it's not just a slight formation change, there's more to it, there's something more underlying, and there's bigger problems than that. There's like I think it is a bit of a mentality thing. To concede again in the first minute of a footy match is ludicrous. Yeah. And then to concede on the back of that right before half-time, having got into the game, is just mental to me. Like, somebody should be saying... Sorry, go on.
No, no, that's great. And I'm with you. They're the problems. So how do we fix that?
Right.
Were you asking a fat kid how to fix a fucking football team? No, but, come on, man.
No, again, because the worry is, I'm looking last and everyone's on about, like, you know, the summer and the ownership, and they should have spent. I think everyone would agree that things haven't gone right. The makeup of the squad, just for whatever reason, it feels like we've gone a little bit over the hill with it now, and maybe it was FSG should have spent more money, definitely. Jürgen might have been a bit too loyal to certain players. Yeah. I think you can combine both of them. I don't think his team selections have been...
I don't think his subs have worked.
His subs haven't worked. Like, everything's like, we are in a bit of a pickle here, like I say, to put it mildly, Chris. But that's I was thinking, for example, just something to throw out there, is that I don't think, and I might be wrong on this, Trent not playing for 2 weeks is the worst thing for Liverpool. If it means that we have a centre-half playing right-back just for a little bit. Long-term, I don't think that's sustainable. If Liverpool want to go on and win trophy after trophy after trophy, I don't think you can get by with playing a centre-back at right-back all the time, because you're not going to score enough goals. But while we are conceding so many, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world, provided he can stay fit, which, again, Joe Gomez, that never guaranteed. That is one thing that might not be the worst problem, because I did think we looked a little bit more solid down that right-hand side in the second half against Arsenal, where Gomez was like, you know what, I'm just staying here. And we lost some in attack, because no one wanted to pass it to him when he got up there, and I got that. But we did look a bit more defensively, so that could be a tiny little thing, just to put a bandage over the bleed right now, maybe.
Yeah, no, that could definitely work. I think what Jürgen tried to do by going to the 4-2-4 or the 4-2-3-1, whatever you wanted to call it, is I think he's trying to rely on a bit more flair from the good lads up front, mm-hmm. and them to sort of try and almost win a game without having to use the entire system, as it were, without having to push Trent Alexander-Arnold higher. Kostas doesn't quite get as high as Trent used to, etc., even though he's higher on the left than he was before. I think the injury to Diaz has really sort of taken the wheels off that one. Yeah. You know, that just makes it almost impossible, because now you've got essentially just four lads for four positions again. Firmino, Salah, Jota and Nunes. And that makes that, there's literally no one to come in. I don't know where Carvalho is. I'd like to see him more in those wing places. I personally think Javier looks more of a midfielder now than a winger. So you've got a potential of Carvalho coming in and spelling them for games. But what that means is, with the Diaz injury, that he's got to change his plan again. And I don't know where he goes to next. The logical thing for me is you bring Harvey Elliott and Carvalho back into the fold, and you go into a three-man midfield again. And if you're going to play Gomez on the right, you ask for that creativity to come from the right-hand side from Harvey Elliott in the eight, because Gomez isn't going to get forward quite as much as Trent Alexander-Arnold. So it makes sense to put Harvey over there with a Thiago and a Fabinho or a Henderson playing in the six, where I think he's actually better now and probably our best option in the six, Hendo.
At the moment.
Because
Fabinho, we've gone back to the Fabinho thing.
We've got to get Salah involved in the games. That's where it comes down to. We've got to get Salah involved in shooting at the goal.
Because he's
actually really good at it. I don't know if you know, he's been top scorer quite a few times in the league.
This is the thing, Dan. It feels to me, I wouldn't even be averse to going, you know what, Mo, get up front.
Give it a Mo.
Go up front. Go and play centre forward. Because, for whatever reason now, our best chances are falling to everybody else. And Mo Salah's XG, for example, is like, fuck all. Every single game, he's the best finisher we've had for years. He's up there with the greatest this club's ever had. His record speaks for itself, and yet we've moved him further away from. Mo Salah's never been someone for me who's like constantly involved in a game build up. You can get away with only scoring five goals, you know, whatever, because he's always involved. No, he's not that at all. He's the opposite. He's a moments player that you don't. Oh my god, Mo Salah scored. It feels I wouldn't be adverse to getting Mo Salah up front somehow. I don't know how you go about doing that. Is it Jota goes right, maybe, I don't know. Harvey Elliott there. With the Luis Diaz injury, really throws that one, spanning into that one, because, like I say, fucking...
Well, Jota's going to be on the left, you'd imagine, isn't he? That seems like the natural thing to happen. But yeah, I think getting Salah, whether it be moving him central is the option, or getting him more involved in the game is probably more important, I'd say. And I think we've got shied away from that a little bit. I think when Klopp obviously brought Nunes in, we knew there was going to be a tweak, and I think he's tried to make it all work naturally, and it hasn't quite clicked. And I think maybe now, for a few weeks, we need to go, you know what, let's kind of shy away from that and just get Salah more involved, getting more touches and getting more central. Like you say, I don't think he goes up front. I don't think he can, because of the Diaz thing. Harvey Elliott on the wing doesn't work for me. He's not quick enough. He hasn't got... Louis, we can't go from Diaz to Elliott.
You could go Carvalho.
Yeah, you could.
Carvalho and then put Jota on the right. I'm thinking last year, because he goes with Sadio up front, and he's forced into that because, again, there was injuries and issues around it. Brilliant. But then and he scored loads of goals. And when everyone come back, he stuck with Sadio up front. He went with the
You can
hand.
Still play Salah on the right-hand side if you want to. You've just got to change his position again. Because, you know, he played on the right-hand side last year and the year before and the year before, but he was in the box.
Yeah.
Now he's played on the right-hand side. I don't think you're moving because of the options that you've got. When you've got Nunes, when you've got Bobby Firmino, they're your central guys.
Yeah. Okay.
And Jota's your left-hand side or central. When Diaz is available, he's not, so he's on the left-hand side for me.
Is there a theory, Chris, that having Joe Gomez makes that easier to say to Mo Salah, actually, you get him? Because you mentioned if Harvey Elliott goes right, he can provide you width. Mm. If Mo Salah goes narrow, it's Harvey Elliott.
Yeah, and because Gomez is naturally not going to come inside the way that Trent's been coming inside and taking up in the half space, which leaves more space inside for Salah to go into if he's going down the right-hand side. Gomez is quite a good cross with the ball.
Gomez
does like to get forward and use his pace to burst past someone, but it's touchline, exactly.
It's very old-fashioned right-back.
That's what Salah might need right now. Mm. You know what I mean? I'd also start looking at trying to get that ball over the top to Salah. Like 3 years ago, Trent's out-ball was always just Salah over the top, and it become intricate, and we play through the middle a lot more, and occasionally he goes back to it. Just get him in a foot race with the fullback, and it's frustrating at times, Salah, because he loses quite a lot of them, but he'll get past once or twice and he'll get a shot off, and that's probably enough to what Liverpool need right now.
What can we about centre that? We've just lost another one. So we're down. If Gomez is going right back, we're back to where we were last year, Dan, early on, is that Trent's out, Gomez is your right back, and one of your centre half is injured. We've only got two. Mm. So for the next couple of weeks, it's the Ebu and Virgil show. And I think it's fair to say Virgil isn't having a good season. Canate's just coming back. Maybe he provides that spark in the centre half that maybe livens things up.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's all systematic and there's lots going on. But Liverpool couldn't have to with the centre-half like doing a bit more at times to make it less easy to score goals against us. Perhaps the return of Ibu Konate helps. I mean, fingers crossed, that's where we're at now. He's definitely playing.
Yeah, he's 100% playing. Yeah, and we're lucky he's back fit, by the way. Otherwise, we'd be in a...
Calvin Ramsey would be playing right back for 2 weeks, wouldn't he?
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah, and he's thrown into the deep end, isn't he?
Kicked the ball, yeah.
City as well to come. So we're lucky Konate's here. And Konate was superb last season. We've said it all before. He was arguably... He played the biggest games in the Champions League final, City away and stuff like that. So
he's mad the match probably for us in the final, wasn't he? Probably.
Yeah, so there's no doubt about it. He's got the ability. And bringing him back, it might just freshen things up. You know, something needs to change, doesn't it? Someone needs a bit of inspiration from somewhere, and it could well be Konate, but we've done this a few times now already this season. We've turned to him, and it's got to land at some point, I suppose. So why not him? But at the same time, I don't know. I worry about everything right now at the minute, to be honest with you. Defensively, I do, because individually, they just seem below their level, all of them, and I can't quite put my finger on why. We spoke about the midfield, and that's obviously a clear problem, but even then, look at the individual errors people are making, and uncharacteristic as well, so many of them, and that's the issue. Like, Virgil van Dijk's been a shadow of himself, an absolute shadow, and he's normally the one, when all around him seems to be failing, he's the one who kind of stands up to be counted and goes, oh no, that's right, I'll take us forward. It's just not happening at all. So Konate, yeah, he has got the ability, he's certainly got the career path that would suggest he's going to be one of the best in the world, so good time to start showing it.
Yeah, that for me, I think Robbo's been a massive miss, and this is no slight on Tsimikas, who I think's been good, to be fair. A couple of goal line clearances, you know, his delivery from set pieces much better than Andy Robertson. I put him on a par with Trent, if not maybe slightly more dangerous at times. Corners are superb, but we are massively missing Andy Robertson in the final third. Not the Andy Robertson who's shooting at the back stick. We're not missing that. Nobody misses Andy Robertson shooting at the back stick. I'm not suggesting that for a moment. But having that ability, like, it feels like Costa's getting to all the same positions, but it kind of just peters out. And you know what I mean? It's just like, oh, ball's back inside. Whereas Robbo gets that ball into the middle quick, early at times. I think we're really missing him, and I think he holds everyone to a higher standard. I think, you know, when we're talking about the desire of Liverpool players, that he would still be there showing that desire week in, week out, and trying to raise the level as a captain. You know, he's not the captain at Liverpool, but he is a captain in the side.
Suppose, Dan, like I say, I mean, who knows, because again, Liverpool have been reluctant to spend money. I think it's fair to say the ownership have been reluctant to spend money, which is an issue that needs solving. He probably at some point need to go and put the hands in the pocket, because there's a lot of players who need to go and be replaced if you want to get the at again. If at the age down of the squad and it could be that they did it last January. They went and got Luis Diaz.
They have to do something in January. They absolutely have to do something.
That's what I'm saying. It feels to me like we just need to get to the end of November, hopefully still in the Champions League, get out of this group, the cup, whatever happens in the League Cup, gives us whatever happens there.
Yeah.
But in the Premier League, be not out of a top four race, which is mad. That's where we are now.
Yeah.
And then there's going to have to be some money spent. Even if it's one or two, just to do something. Because it feels to me like all the eggs were in the Jude Bellingham basket once they didn't get Tchouaméni or Lime.
Lime, yeah.
So they waited. It feels to me like if you wait too... First of all, if you're not in the Champions League next year, all the best...
You're out the race anyway.
All the best getting Jude Bellingham. This will come next year. And the Apple said that in a super chat. We're going to need to replace most of our midfield next summer. If we can't get Champions League, they will really struggle. It feels to me like if they weren't planning to invest in January, what, like someone's going to be knocking on the door, Jürgen's going to be banging the door down, or FSG have got to be coming to him and saying, we can't afford not to be in the Champions League. Here's 50, 60 million for go and get yourself a midfielder or whatever now. Yeah. Because without it, it's going to cost us. It's going to be horrendous. If Liverpool are playing Europa League footy next year, it's a fucking shambles.
Yeah, it is. And obviously, compared to where we've been as well, we were on the cusp of winning absolutely everything.
It's a free five, Champions League finals.
And that too. But also, as you rightly say or allude to, like FSG know how important Champions League football is for their own sake. You know what I mean? In terms of the money they're looking to bring in, because it's a money spinner, isn't it? Quite frankly, we've seen clubs strive to get there because of how much you get on the back of it. So yeah, I think FSG, they are very reluctant to spend money full stop in many senses, but at the same time, when we have needed to do something in January, we have done, like, our hand was forced a bit with the Luis Diaz thing, obviously, because Tottenham were sort of sniffing around, weren't they? So that made us, but I agree, I think, like, Klopp or whoever else Julian Ward is now needs to be going there and saying, listen, we need to resolve this. I mean, they tried to resolve the midfield thing with Arteta, but it hasn't really worked, you'd have to say, already, wouldn't you, I suppose, you know what I mean? Because, well, no.
Dan, that really? Take the word really out of that sentence. It hasn't worked.
I've always reluctant.
I'm not really. I've gotten really less hurt. Oh, you're fucking bored, lad.
I'm reluctant to call it out because injury is a bit unfortunate, or is that just poor, man?
You sound like you haven't kicked the ball for 6 months. Yeah, it's like an injury when he starts kicking a ball.
It's unfortunate, but it hasn't worked.
It hasn't worked, yeah. So anyway, it needs resolving in January, isn't it, is the point. Because you're right, I think Champions League is an absolute necessity, whichever way we want to get there. But at the same time, if you're really sort of rose-tinted glasses on it, then this reset opportunity we have with the World Cup, which is unprecedented, we've never seen this before, a World Cup in the middle of the season, could be literally exactly what we need.
But you've got to get there within
touching distance. You've got to get there in touching distance, of course you have. Yeah, in the top four race, we still need to be in it, which right now looks a bit unlikely the way we're playing. But if we can get there and we can strengthen in January, there's nothing telling me that this squad of players that we have, even with the injuries, isn't capable of doing something a bit mad in the second half of the season and going and winning something or getting top four, because we've seen it after them back-to-back home defeats.
If we can get top four with our goalie scoring a goal, exactly, and that Phillips, exactly. You should always trust them, but yeah, you're right.
You've got a sniff, haven't we? You know what I mean?
You've got to be in the hunt. So I asked, what can we do to fix this? I think what we've said is, run more, maybe.
Yeah, well, let me just have a little thing on the January thing, right? So the Bellingham stuff and the midfielder, right? I think I've always been accepting of Liverpool have got a finite sum of money that they can spend, and they're going to wait for the right guy. I think we're actually into that, like, press the fucking big ass red button and spend what you can't afford to fucking spend at this point. I think in the past it's been, well, if we spend 80 million on this lad who we don't think is the right option, then that leaves us only with 20 to buy Bellingham, which isn't going to happen because we had 100 million to spend. I think we need to spend 50 million and keep that reserved for Bellingham, whatever it is. Because as Dan says, and you alluded to it before, if we don't get Champions League, the money dwindles and the players stop coming. And that is, like, can take years to get back into it. As we've seen with Arsenal and Manchester United and the struggles that they've had, this is your whatever you've got hidden under the fucking sofa somewhere money, get that fucking out and get it fucking spent and keep... And you've got to buy Bellingham in the summer as well. Yeah. You've got to do both. It can't be one or the other this time. We need more than that.
Just to say as well, the problem there, if anything, it's smart business from FSG to actually do that in January and give us that 50 million because of the money to get on the flip side. But not only that, if you do miss out on Champions League, we've seen it with United, they end up overspending on players for years to come, because just to get into the club, you've got to overspend in terms of the transfer fee, but then wages are astronomical just to get that calibre of player in.
No, you're right, mate. Yeah, so to fix it before January, we get to January and hopefully, like I say, FSG or whoever's in charge of the money gets their hands in the pocket and does something. Like, I think we'd all agree, but we've got to get there first. And you've got to be within touching distance, like I say, because who's going to join you in January? You're thinking, oh, I want to play Champions League next year. That who knows? But so the intensity needs, you're right, of getting Mo Salah closer to goal, whatever, however you can do it. I think we'd agree with that. Mm-hmm. I know it's easy to say, but maybe a bit of fresh legs on the right-hand side of the defence, because the right-hand side's been an issue. If Gomez and Konate can shore that up, what it does, Chris, is
I'd like some professional pride in defending.
Yeah, and give
you
a
know
fuck.
What I mean? Yeah, like the, those lads that, like, when they used to fucking celebrate getting a clean sheet, you know, when you were 4-0 up, I want some of that. I want someone who cares about fucking keeping a clean sheet.
Every team who walks into other than Glasgow Rangers for some mad reason, by the way, everyone's gone, playing Liverpool, let's go and attack down their right, our left. Rangers decided to go the other way, and we saw what happened, they got nothing out of that. I suppose, just to tie a bow, and this is that, if, again, it's force changes, this isn't something Jürgen particularly wanted to do, but he's now going to have to play Gomez and Konate there for a couple of weeks, at least, by all accounts. He's got the option of Milman and Ramsey, but I don't see that happening straight away. At least now, if those two play well, at least the line of attack, because the option will do something different. It isn't easy. I'll just put over there, and when we'll score, like everyone's been doing, make them go and do something else, and that could help, I suppose, is what we're doing.
Rangers ain't going to be the fucking acid test here, is it, in any way, shape, or form? You know, Manchester City is the test, and the Premier League games are the test that aren't against probably one of the best sides in the world right now. You know, ultimately, we're miles off Manchester City, miles and miles and miles off them at the moment. So that ain't going to be the test either. We need to find someone who's fucking in the Premier League, who's around where we are, which is loads of teams because we're 10th, and we need to start pulling our finger out against those lads and making it our business to beat them.
No, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right, and like I say, hopefully that starts with Rangers, and then they can get one out of City. At the moment, it looks unlikely. you never know, like, stranger things have happened. And like I say, you just need one or two lads, I think, when times like this, just to drag them along with them. At the moment, the lads you usually do want that, have we got them? I suppose Roberto Firmino's trying his best for that, and we're going to speak about that in part two later on, Chris. Mm-hmm. It might just be like Mo Salah, mate, we've given you $300,000 a week and we are in the fucking shit here. Virgil, you're meant to be the best defender in the world, mate. Jürgen might need to go to them too and go, we need yous.
Yeah, we might need some help off the refs as well, you know. And someone said this to me yesterday, actually. I thought it was a really interesting point. When you're playing well and you're really good, you get over referees' decisions. Yeah. But like, when you're not playing well, those referee decisions affect the results. Like, you know what I mean? Like that penalty at the weekend. Mm. I can't get over how you're legally allowed to shoulder barge someone and knock them through the fucking hoarding, and yet you can't touch them on the leg in the penalty area. Like, I know shoulder barge is allowed, right? But surely shoulder barging someone sick into the fucking next week is worse than
the handball's worse as well, mate.
Well, we got one with a massive shoulder barge on Luis Diaz, didn't we, in the Arsenal game, I think it was. And it's nothing. You've knocked him over. And that's not allowed. That's allowed, sorry, but this little tiny touch on his legs.
Nonsense. Yeah,
and the handball decision that Liverpool didn't get, but then Newcastle get one against them. The talk about the offside thing.
The referee decisions do affect you when you're not playing well. You can't get over them.
I always
you're
feel
not
like
enough to get over them and pass them.
When you're playing shitty, like, luck seems to go against you. You know what I mean? Like, you might get away
with
it.
But it's just you don't notice it when you're playing well, because it doesn't matter because you're 3-0 up.
Yeah.
So like, you just instantly forget about it because you've just won the game.
And the talk about the VAR, if that, I think it was the ESPN reporter, maybe Saka was in a blind spot or something.
Maybe.
Nonsense.
Apparently he was. Five cameras, none of them pointing at him, so they had to stay with the decision on
I
the
like
field.
I like that. It's horrible.
Arsenal fan on the camera going like that with his lens. Fucking prick.
Absolutely. But like I say, you do need that little bit of luck, and that's what I'm saying. I'm open. If I was Jürgen, I think I'd be rallying I'd be going to Virgil and Mo Salah and go, listen, you're the best two players at this club. You've been the best two players here for 5 years. Get the argument involved if you want Sam. But like those two and go, can you just carry us through? We talk about the season when we ended up with Nat Phillips playing centre-half with Reece Williams, it was actually Thiago, Trent and Salah pretty much wasn't it? Obviously, a bit of help from the goalie, like, but who kind of...
We need a spine, Steve.
You need
some... We haven't got a spine.
At the moment...
Alisson and fucking Diaz.
At the moment, and Diaz is gone. It's only... And Roberto Firmino, we're going to touch upon. I'd like to think Mo Salah should be taking this, like, fucking, do I really want to not be playing Champions League footy next year? Let's go kind of thing.
The players are there to get that spine back, though, aren't they? You know what I mean? When you look at Firmino, who's playing really well, obviously you want to talk about, and then Thiago, we all know what he's about. Thiago really took it upon himself on the weekend, didn't he, after Sunday? He came over and apologised. He took some ownership of that shit performance, his own shit performance. So that's a good sign in many ways, you know what I mean? And then you look at Van Dijk behind him, I'm talking quite literally a spine, Van Dijk behind him, we all know how good he is, can be, was. And then Alisson, obviously. Alisson's one who I'd probably keep out of this entire conversation. Not only has he been superb in terms of performances, but it really looks like it matters to him. You were talking early on about him, some pride in the clean sheet. He looks like the one to me really gives a shit at the minute. Like when something goes wrong, he's after the ref. And you don't want to see it, but at the same time, you love seeing a bit of passion because we have lacked that this year so far. So I think for me, from Klopp, it's those players that you talk about and it's those I've just mentioned there, and it might just be getting back to basics. Like, it sounds really negative after us all getting carried away on 4-2-4, 4-2-3-1, but for me, I'd get back to basics a little bit, like we did in the Phillips and Williams season. It was like, right, this is what we've got now, these are the lads, we need to keep it simple, do what we do best, get the ball to Salah, Virgil, you kick it away, and let's play footy from there.
Yeah, fingers crossed Liverpool can turn it around. Danny M in the Discord chat said maybe the inhalers have finally stopped working after all this time. We've had a super chat from Jay with his 9.99, says Klopp's history is no good after 6 years and it's being proven again. So this is a narrative that's been spoken about, the old
but he's never
thing.
Done eight.
That's true.
Find out. Let's figure out. Let's go together. Maybe he has been a bit too loyal, but who knows? But like I say,
it's a really small sample size there.
It's one game. Like, it's one of the club.
Yeah, well, look, what about the fucking 18 years that he was really good out of those 20 that have been played?
Yeah. It did happen.
It happened once in Dortmund. You're right.
No, I agree. It's not.
So, yeah, I'm not having that one at all. Right then, lads, we'll move on. So we kind of think we've solved Liverpool's problems. There you go, Jürgen. Guess Salah.
I'm so glad that he never said that he said right at the end there at the beginning, because that would have been a really short segment.
Guess Salah up front.
Get Van Dijk to clear the ball.
Van Dijk to wellier over.
We don't go too soon with that sort of stuff.
End segment. Hurry up, Steve. Let's go on to the next one.
Let's do it then. Let's go on to who knows wins then, because speaking of losers.
All right.
Me, you and Paul last week were equal losers.
No. I was 331st.
Yeah.
How many?
Did you win any money?
I didn't lose any. I did actually.
Anyway. What metal is that? So you got gold, silver, bronze. What did you get for 331st?
Wood.
Wood.
not a metal, but a shit.
We all got 6 points last week, so no one's going to wear the hat because we're all equally losers, so we'll carry on over the Who Knows Nothing hat on next week. But yeah, we're going to be sponsored by our friends or Who Knows Wins for the entire season. You can check out the games this week.
Is it still the MAGA cap?
It is.
Can we change the colour of that fucking cap?
No.
I just don't like the fact that it looks like a MAGA cap.
That's kind of why it's a really, really big punishment to get it as well. Not only is it, nothing, it also looks a little bit like Donald Trump's hat. But anyway, the guys over at Who Knows Wins have boxed off this year. We've got redmen.whoknowswins.com for you guys to go and play along with. And do come and join us. Last week, we didn't do a particularly great job. This week, we are playing in two... Well, there's two leagues.
Someone won $5,500 last week on it off of Fiverr.
Crazy stuff.
They got 10 out of 10 and walked away with £5,500. And, you win money for all kinds, don't you? Like, nines, eights, I think sevens even won money this time around. But imagine getting 10 out of 10 and winning £5,500 nice. Off a five. That is fucking
happy
ridiculous.
Christmas.
And fair play to the person who did get that win, like I say. So, yeah, we're actually changing things up. Usually we play in the Saturday Pick 10 League, but because, obviously, it's our own version of the app now, we can do what we want. We get to pick what games we play, and we get all that kind of stuff. We've got the Sunday Pick 10 League that we're going to be playing in, and also we've got the Game Day Manchester City Special to play in as well. I was going to bring it up on the screen, but I feel like we're having some tech issues. So what we're going to do, we're going to just let me have a little reset. Yeah,
pass it to me while you talk.
You have a little go of trying to get that fixed for me, Chris, while I talk through it. So yeah, if you've never played there, Who Knows Wins before, essentially, you get 10 things that you've got to pick correctly, whether it's game results of a weekend, whether it's certain things happening within matches, all that kind of stuff. This week, like I say, we'll be picking 10 games that happen on Sunday, win, draw or loss, and the same again for the Manchester City game. If we can't get them, I can read them out. I've got them on my screen here, so I can tell you exactly what's going to be on them, Chris, so if you can't get them on there at the moment, with the NDI being a little bit of a... Yeah. Have we got it? Yeah. Oh, nice one. Look at this. Chris and Si to the rescue. Are we good? Yeah. I can even bring it up on the screen. Right, Si, can you get it for me? Drum roll, please, for the... All right, we haven't got it. It's fine. Don't worry, we'll crack on. We've got it, but the screen is a bit rubbish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's have a little go then. Here we go. Let's have a little look. Here we go. We got it. There we go. That was seamless. This is the Sunday Pick 10 League that we will be playing in. Me, Chris and Paul. So come and join us for that one. That went seamlessly well. We've got Villa versus Chelsea. We've got Lazio versus Udinese. Leeds v Arsenal. Man United v Newcastle. Southampton v West Ham. Oh, El Clasico. Madrid v Barca. I didn't know that was this weekend. Mm-hmm. We've got Liverpool versus City as well. The classic, yeah. Napoli versus Bologna, Verona versus Milan, PSG versus Marseille, another big game there as well. So yeah, we'll be playing in that one with us. And also, I'm going to go back up here and I'll just let you see this one as well, which is a pretty cool game that we've got. Mention what the specific game day ones. Here we go. We've got Liverpool versus Manchester City. Full-time results, both teams to score, yes or no. Over 2.5 goals, yes or no. The first half results, who's going to be winning at half-time? Will Liverpool take over 3.5 corners? Will Liverpool have over 2.5 cards? City over 1.5 cards, over 6.5 corners. And Erling Haaland to score any time. Thanks very much to the guys at Who Knows Wins for making that one. I might be pressing yes on that one. I might press yes on that bottom one straight away because the likelihood is that he will be getting involved. So yeah,
they might rest up against us.
Yeah, like, you've got bigger fish to fry.
Play him against Copenhagen.
We'll put Erling out for the big Copenhagen clash and just feel the rest of it. Yeah, we can beat Liverpool without him. We'll throw Alvarez or whoever up front. Yeah,
Cole Palmer.
You can tell we're not in a good mood about the 40.
Absolutely not. So yeah, if you want to get involved, it's redmen.whoknowswins.com or you click the link on the YouTube description below. If you, between now and we've got a couple of weeks, we're running a competition as well. For if you play the game, if you screenshot your ticket or you know your guesses, tweet at Who Knows Wins and at the Redmen TV as well. We'll be giving away a PlayStation 5 and also some copies of FIFA 23 as well. So we're running that for the next couple of weeks. So like I say, get yourselves involved. Time beat us, it won't be hard because we've got absolutely zilcho points. But yeah, congratulations. Basically, like one person last week got all 10 right and won $5,500. There was other prizes for 9s, 8s, 7s. So that's a good thing. Who Knows Wins is that even if you don't get you don't get them all right, you can still win prizes by getting 8s, 9s, etc, etc. So yeah, there's two games that we're playing in this weekend, but there's tons more on there as well. So yeah, like again, final time, it's redmen.whoknowswins.com. Come and beat us in the Sunday Pick 10 League. You probably will, and also in the Manchester City special as well. The City special, by the way, is a £5,000 pot, and the Sunday Pick 10 is also a £5,000 pot. So yeah, go and get yourself some dough. Hopefully we do better in that one, Chris, this week, because I feel like we let ourselves down a little bit last week.
I let myself down. That's about average for you.
Nice.
That's absolutely fair play. Right, yeah, fair play, like I say, yeah, do get involved. But again, if you're 18, don't get involved. UK only, gamble responsibly. If you're not a gambler, that's fine. Don't get involved. If you are someone who gets involved, then fair enough. But yeah, be responsible with all this kind of stuff.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome. Like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome. Like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I want to talk about the Roberto Firmino Renaissance, Chris.
Lovely.
The Bobby Sons, I'm calling it.
Ooh,
the Bobby Sons.
TM.
one of the very, very few positives from Liverpool this season, and there have been very, very few. One's the Brazilian lad in goal, and one's the Brazilian lad up front, I think it's fair to say. Maybe this is World Cup related. He did get himself back in the Brazil squad at the last international break. He's obviously in the last year of his contract now, so he's playing for a move. That might all be involved in this as well. The fact that he didn't play a lot of footy last summer, it might just be that he's really good and he was just being flogged to death for a few weeks. But I suppose that is... Again, you're cutting our straws here, but it's been nice to see the re-emergence of Roberto Firmino.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's probably over-egged a little bit how much he'd dropped off because
it was just injuries, wasn't it?
You know, and that's why Mane ends up front and Jota comes in and does so well. I think Bobby's always been better at knitting that sort of play together, hasn't he? You know, he's had those seasons where he's got to 15 goals, but... You know, more often than not, it's around the 8 to 10 mark, and he's just a really clever footballer, and he hasn't slowed down any with age. He never had it to begin with, I don't think, and he never really needed it. And he's one of those players where, you know, I talked about the experience of the lads in the middle of the park and it going missing. It doesn't to me, Dan, look like his experience. He's using it.
Use it wisely. Yeah, no, I agree. And that's what makes him so brilliant. We've always sort of lauded him for his intelligence as a footballer, and that's where his genius is, quite frankly. Because he never had that pace. He doesn't need to lose it. You know what I mean? He's a different role, isn't he, than anybody else, and he does knit things together so well. And it's interesting to sort of pinpoint why he's been so good in terms of what is it. But I think you're right, Chris. I don't think it's a case of a renaissance as lovely as Bobby Sons was. I don't think he ever really lost it. I think it was just we got, not carried away, but we got very excited about Jota. And obviously Mane then comes in and does the central role, and we all go with that, and we think, oh, Bobby might be done here. But he's not. He never has been. He's superb.
So again, you say that, but like last season got 20 games and still is a goal score record last season was decent for 20 games. He scored 11 goals. You know what I mean? But the year before it was 36 games, and that's when he only got 9. And I think that's when everyone was like, so maybe this actually happened 2 years ago, but the injuries last year where we hardly seen him kind of put it in a bit of perspective, Chris. But like I say, this season so far, he's played 11 games in total. He's 11 games in total. He's scored 6 goals and he's got 3 assists. Last year it was 20 league appearances, by the way, it was 35 in all comps. But this year, like I say, 11 games, 6 goals, 3 assists, and he has played well. That's the, you know, forget the numbers, he's just looked a little bit more like Roberto Firmino. Again, we talked about before, but needing our big players to stand up, it looks like one of them who is doing that is Roberto Firmino. And it, like Dan says, it isn't just the goal, it's the time things together, it's the player. Is it, we've all been saying, like, about getting Mo Salah up front, and, you know, Darwin Nunes, can we get the big £80 million striker firing? It could be an option just go Roberto Firmino, you're our main striker, go and carry on what you're doing, because at least we can kind of bank on you.
Yeah, it's whether you're playing the short game or the long game, innit? You know what I mean? And like, I wouldn't be surprised if Klopp did play a little bit of the short game.
I think he has to, Chris, to be honest.
Yeah, because of where we are in the league and getting Champions League, which we've already spoken about on this show. So, I don't know, I think like, you know, sometimes it's difficult to judge a player. I mean, we were so used to seeing Mane and Bobby and Salah for so long. And I think over the course of the maybe 4 years that they were together and probably the best front three in world football, I think it's fair to say that my opposition managers recognised that Bobby Firmino was just as much of a threat and would have a game plan specifically for how you deal with Bobby Firmino as ever. Now, I think maybe with the signing of Jota and with the signing of Diaz, are opposition managers really thinking Bobby's a threat? Is he the fourth threat? Is he the third threat? He's not number one or two. So while he's been able to get that little bit of freedom, he's been able to make it work a little bit more. I think, you know, with Salah and Diaz on either side, you've kind of got to make a plan for those two and how you're going to defend. And Bobby's so clever, he can just find that space and work off what the opposition team are doing. So I'd be comfortable with Bobby in the nine still, certainly.
His
finishing,
I think his finishing
looks good. Yeah, his movement looks good.
That goal the other day was
the run was brilliant. The fact that he managed to have time to look up before he even controlled the ball. So he's watching the ball, he looks up, he relocates the ball and he touches it before he finishes it. That's fucking next level shit. Like, really next level shit. So, I think long term Liverpool needs to get Nunes firing. I really do. That doesn't necessarily mean that Bobby comes out of the team.
Them both. If he stick with four, he's got the option. Dan, he's out of contract in the summer, and spoke earlier about maybe Jürgen's been a bit too loyal to players. Like, as it stands, the talk is he might not sign, but nothing's being ruled out. Or like, even if he plays well this season, there'll be a lot of arguments. Should we keep him? Should we let him go? Let this be a swan song. He had a good season, but he's going to go. A little bit like Gini Wijnaldum in that extent, really. Gini had a good final season. as it stands right now, it looks like they probably could have done with keeping him. I know he's injured at the moment, but he had a broken leg, and he wasn't exactly pulling up trees in Paris before the move to Italy, so maybe not. But it's going to be interesting if Roberto Firmino ends this season with, you know, I'm just looking at his goals.
Could be 15 goals.
Well, as it stands now, like I say, he's on what? He's played 11 games and he's on 6. We've scored 1 and 2. If he plays 40 games and gets 20 goals, and then you're all just going to go bye to Roberto Firmino. But there's an argument to be made, actually, that's probably the best thing to do, because again, we're talking about evolution. Yeah. We've just signed a record striker we need to get going. Again, this could be the first time where we really test this whole thing of the loyalty thing and what's right for the club and what's not. Because by all accounts, this might be conjecture, but it was Jürgen who kind of pushed for the Jordan Henderson extension a little bit, wasn't it? There was talk that he was actually one pushing for Genie, and he couldn't get the numbers right. But if he wants Roberto Firmino, Julian Wall could be, sorry Jürgen, but like, I'm going to have to let him go. It could be an interesting conversation to be had.
Yeah, I think Klopp will definitely be wanting Roberto Firmino, not just based on the form that we're talking about, but also he's the orchestrator, isn't he, of everything for us, and he has been for so long. And Klopp is very loyal, there's no getting away from that, and I think he'd be desperate for Firmino to stay, certainly if he carries on in this vein of form. But just to say short term, I think there is definitely an argument. He's part of that getting back to basics thing that I mentioned earlier. He brings the best out of Salah, so there's definitely an argument to say
I start him in definitely against Manchester City 100%.
Yeah, definitely, as long as you can keep him fit, there's no point not really at the minute, is there? But on the contract side of things, it's a really difficult one. I've been battling myself with it for a little while, because you look at what he's doing, you think, God, he deserves a new contract. You look at what he's done and you think that as well. He's showing no signs of slowing down in terms of his ability. Like we've already said, he never really had the pace to lose, so it's not really an issue. But the flip side of that is, you have just spent 80 million on Darwin Nunes. You do need to get him into the side up and running long term. So if you keep Firmino for another 2 years, 3 years maybe, are you kind of blocking that off again perhaps? And is it time to cut ties? Because we have been guilty of saying, oh no, go on, new deal. And then eventually you look at that and go, why? Why did we give this lad a new contract? And I know from sort of testing the water with this on our Twitter that you sort of mentioned the Firmino contract situation, and people are saying, like, no, aging, you know, we're keeping players for too long again. So it's a fine balance for this one.
He's just turned 31, Chris. He's played 238 games for Liverpool since 2015. He's been here. This is what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th season at the club. He's won everything. He's ran everywhere. Like, he's probably covered every blade of grass on every single Premier League football pitch. But like you mentioned before, 31 isn't old. But at some point, we talk about like the average age of the squad going up and up and up. To maintain success, you have to just be ruthless sometimes and go, you know what, like, he needs to go, and we need to reinvest that money in a younger lad, and then it becomes Darwin Nunes as Liverpool, whoever, and let it give
this is where Liverpool's contract stuff and bringing people's contracts down the older they get come in. And I think, you know, it's something where a player being advised at the end of his year, at the end of his career by an agent, is saying, you've got to get one more payday, because this is your last one.
Should you go abroad?
And that's why I think it's always so difficult for Liverpool to be able to get the money down to a point where they can agree.
Yeah.
Something that doesn't stifle what we can do in the transfer market by bringing players in, but also keep players around. Ultimately, I think you nailed it earlier on, Steve, to be honest with you. We needed 3 years ago to have more lads coming in this season who are 25 years old. We didn't address that 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We get them when they're 21, 22, and they're prime age in a few years' time. There always seems to be big gaps in our squad from real, real young to prime and over prime, or getting over prime. That's the difficulty. It's about how you manage your squad over the course of multiple years, not just for one season. I think we sometimes get a little bit bogged down in that we need these lads right now and stuff like that. Harvey Elliott and Carvalho are going to look great in 3 to 4 years' time when they're in the established names in the team sheet. But how do we get there with Jordan Henderson and with Thiago? Probably not. Like, we need them to either step up earlier, or we need someone in the meantime who's going to bridge that gap until they're top draw Premier League players, if they get to top draw Premier League players. And equally, like, you look at the forwards now, Jota's of the right age, Diaz is the right age, but the others are probably Bobby Firmino, Mo Salah, and Nunes is coming into the right age as well. You need to have someone who young, as well as someone I think who's quite old. I'd be comfortable with keeping Bobby Firmino around for an extra year, because I think, you know, the way Tom Brady says in the NFL, like, why would they give up now? This has just become easy because he's seen everything and he's done it, and he never had pace and he never had the biggest arm in American football. Now he's seen every defence that you're going to ever throw at him, and he finds it quite easy to recognise what the defences are. Like, Bobby Firmino never had the pace to go past the player. He's just getting more and more experienced, and maybe he's getting better at coming on as a substitute and making an impact in games that he's sitting and watching because he can see and how to use his skill set and stuff. So we need a young lad coming in. Who's the forward who's 20 years old, 19 years old, maybe could be, absolutely. But he's also behind the lad on the left hand side that's actually coming into a really good age. Is Kai Gordon, have we seen anything of Kai Gordon over the last 12 months?
So
these are the lads that you're hoping come good, but they don't always come good, Steve.
No, and that's the problem. If I suppose I'm all for keeping Roberto Firmino, I would be, but it's whether it's just another space in the squad that you think. We talked about before about not having lads at prime ages. Can you sell 31-year-old Roberto Firmino and go and buy 26-year-old X, Y and Z to go and be buy Jota now, not Jota that we got 2 years ago, the age of him. I know Jota's not having a great season, he's been injured, etc. But you get my point. Like, someone who's ready, I suppose that's the thing with Bobby, because my sense is they're going to let him go. And I think that's the right call, to be honest with you. I think long term, I think that for the best of Liverpool,
it all comes down to money for me. Yeah. If he's taking like the James first Milner team cut. Players' wages, swapping for a 26-year-old.
Yeah.
If he's not, if he's taking a squad player's wages and he's comfortable with it, you ain't going to get better than Bobby Firmino.
I agree with that, I think if you can get him to sort of reduce his wage, which it doesn't affect what we're doing elsewhere, and he's happy to be that squad player, maybe start some games, Carabao Cup, FA Cup, and then come into games after he has seen it and assess what's going on and have an impact that way, I think he's a no-brainer to keep around. I really do.
Yeah, and again, we saw James Milner.
I can understand the other side of the argument, though, on this. I can certainly understand why people would be like, no, it's time to cut ties. Definitely understand.
Because I think, looking at this season, maybe there's probably doing that with a couple of lads already, you know what I mean? So I think that's why everyone's like, you know, getting burned again. The difference is Roberto Firmino's playing really, really, really well. Like, if this is a sustained season thing, I don't think you'll get to April and people will be desperate for him to go. I mean, I think everyone will be like, yeah, fair enough, I understand it, but he's got to maintain his form, stay fit, and he hasn't been able to do that, Dan. That's the problem.
No, he hasn't, and the injuries have kind of curtailed our sort of thoughts on him, because we all love him to pieces for lots of reasons, but you're right, there was a time about 12 months ago where we all kind of thought he might be done here, because of the emergence of Jota and his injuries were happening at the same time. We thought this could be the end of Firmino as we know him, but it's a difficult one. I think if he does carry on this form or anything sort of like this form, I think it's going to be hard to ignore. He really is. But I get the flip side like you do, Chris. I think it's a danger one, because if you give him the new deal and you say, oh, do you know what, you've earned this, you've been brilliant for the club for X amount of years, you've had a superb season, you've stayed injury free, you know what's going to happen. You're going to give him the new deal and he's going to pick up an injury, isn't he, 2 weeks later. And that's it's a hard balance to sort of strike, it really is. But like I said, if you could get him on reduced terms and he's happy with a squad role, I would be very willing to keep him. Especially if you did sign another young striker. And Nunes is going to learn off Firmino. You know what I mean? Jota's probably still learning off Firmino, particularly if he wants to play centrally. So younger players will learn off someone like him who's seen it all before.
Just quickly as well, Steve. I think, you know, when managers are at their absolute peak and when clubs are at their absolute peak, I think they recognise when players are going to fall off a cliff, don't they? And I think it's one of the hardest jobs in the world in that regard, is knowing when to cut ties with the player. I think back to my youth and Alex Ferguson and him just seeming to know exactly when the time was to get rid of those players. Do you really think that Liverpool have kept someone way past their fucking bedtime?
Yeah.
Who?
Henderson.
Yeah. So I think he's the best six at the football.
This is my point on the Henderson thing. I've got no issue with Jordan. I think he should be a squad player by now, by not backfilling Jordan Henderson and by not backfilling James Milner. They're playing too much. Mm-hmm. If Roberto Firmino,
so Liverpool have never kept anyone right now way past the bedtime.
I think Milner's, you can probably argue it.
Yeah,
but like that's the thing.
My point here is the two lads that we've kind of got rid of in Mane and Wijnaldum have had real struggles. It looks like from the outside looking in, and forgetting what's happening right now, because I think it is a bit mad at the moment.
Yeah.
Liverpool might be 2-0 on this.
Yeah.
And both of them, would you say that it came down to money for both of them in terms of us not agreeing? I know it's hard, but it's all conjecture.
I think Mane probably wanted to go. And I think that's
new challenge sort of thing, yeah. But I think the Wijnaldum thing looked like it might have been the other angle. And that's an interesting point because obviously the way FSG run, they're very frugal, aren't they? They're not going to sort of give in to Wijnaldum's demands, especially if the Klopps of this world are going, I'm not quite sure we're going to be using him as much moving forwards. And it looks like you say, it might have hit at the right time.
I agree with you. We should have probably replaced them.
I think
that's not part of the debate.
I get your point. I think we'd all be comfortable if Liverpool said, right, go and buy a striker and Roberto Firmino hangs around as a squad player. I suppose what you're saying is, does Roberto Firmino want to be your backup centre forward, or do you want him to be third choice? You know, and I think that's where we get at. I would be fine with James Milner being eighth option, ninth option, when everyone, and that's what he should be. But yeah, the lads in front of him are either always injured, so all of a sudden
the squad makeup's wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
He becomes fourth choice very quickly.
Keiter and Ox are almost figments of imagination at this point. Curtis Jones is becoming this. He's often injured.
Yeah.
So everyone's moving up a level. I don't think Liverpool are wrong to keep either Henderson or Milner, but I think the roles that they found themselves in terms of the pecking order, they're both too high. They should be in and out players.
And that comes down to the makeup that I was talking about before. When Elliot's your next option, but he's a young kid.
Yeah.
You know, you still need that lad who's Fabinho's age. Great example because he's playing shit at the moment, but you know what I mean? You need those lads, and that's where it's not just planning for 1 year, it's planning for multiple years. And I think that right now seems to be where we're struggling with our squad makeup.
I actually think Klopp's loyalty isn't about sort of keeping players beyond their peak. I think it's more of an injury thing. He doesn't seem to see injuries to me. I know that sounds absolutely stupid to say, but you know, when he talks in pre-season about his midfield, because he gets asked the question all the time, it happened this summer, he's like, do you think you need a midfield? He's like, oh no, we've got XYZ, and then we've got Keita, Ox and Curtis Jones. And I'm sat there thinking, you can't count them. You know what I mean? You really can't, because we know what's going to happen.
The flip side is, Dan, is he counting them, or is he thinking, the lads above me aren't giving me no money, so I can't come here and say, I need four midfielders and they're all shit and always injured? Because you can't do that, you know what I mean? I think personally, some of it comes down to the fact that he knows I haven't got the budget that people above me need to be.
Maybe. You could well be right.
He's kind of dropped hints at times, he's kind of done the thing, didn't he? He's done the, I'd like to be able to take more gambles. He kind of says this kind of thing. So there's I think he is too loyal to certain players, because by all accounts he was the one pushing for certain contracts. But also, I think he realises he's playing a different game.
He knew that coming into the club as well. It's one of the reasons that he didn't want to go to Manchester United.
Yeah, it is.
And all those types of things is one of the reasons that
he's constantly. I agree.
And you know, it says, we're going back a long time, and obviously he's gone back on his word, but he did talk about spending that amount of money on a player and how he'd never want to do that. You know, he wants to develop players, he wants to improve players and stuff like that. Now the game's changed, since in the 7 years that he's come in, and he has to spend that because that's your £20 million striker nowadays.
Yeah.
From when we signed Torres or something, Nunes is the new price for that. But like, I think ultimately he still wants to be a football coach, and he still wants to improve players, and he still can improve players even when they're, not playing very well. And that's the thing that we've got to hope, that the coach Klopp comes out over the next few weeks. Going back to the first segment, how do we improve it? Good coaching is probably the start.
Yeah, good coaching. And like I think it's fair to say the whole football club from top to bottom just needs to pull a finger out. Maybe everyone got a bit too complacent. I mean, like the FSG and the ownership should have spent more. Jürgen maybe should have been a bit more ruthless with certain players.
Yeah.
His decision making hasn't been great this year. I think he'd be looking at himself the same way as well. Like everyone just feels like they've dropped off a level. And like it might, hopefully then this is just a reset.
Yeah.
And hopefully, because we are feeling a bit low about it, it could be like you said, Liverpool are capable at some point of going on a run and putting it together. But I'd like to think that this is a wake-up call for everybody not to sleep on your laurels, because a team shouldn't get to within 20 minutes of winning everything and then all of a sudden fall off a cliff. Something hasn't gone quite right.
Yeah, well, maybe that's part of the problem, because we were on the verge of sort of immortality, weren't we, just a few months ago? And I think everyone at the club might be thinking, God, we're half untouchable, you know what I mean? So why would
including
you?
Including the ownership.
Even
the owners might have got a bit like, fucking hell, we've got this magician here. We don't have to spend that much money because this lad keeps pulling us out of shit.
Yeah.
It feels like there's only so much even the magician can do. He still needs his assistant, so he needs to fucking
play. It's going to come to a head at some point, isn't it? You know what I mean? You can't keep expecting the same people just to keep going and going. But like I say, everyone at the club might have gone, God, we were so close to doing literally everything. Why would we need? You don't see the need for a big refresh then, do you? Think, oh, just a couple of tweaks here and there. Yes, we've lost Sadio Mane, but Darwin Nunes is coming in. Away you go and do it again. Hasn't worked like that. So it is half understandable that that would be be the case, but it's come to bear now and it's quite clear that something major needs to happen. I think we need to muddle through until the World Cup, like you say, hopefully be in a position to strike in January. And then even after that, I think next summer is, I feel like I've said this before, the biggest summer for a long time at Liverpool Football Club.
Agreed.
It is, Chris. And I suppose, just to tie a bow on it, means, like you mentioned before, an NFL reference is like, let players get old on someone else's watch. It feels like Liverpool's players have all got old, but it's on Liverpool's watch. It's Bill Belichick's phase, isn't it? I'd rather lose them a year too early than keep them a year too late. For whatever reason, we know Liverpool tried to sign a midfielder this summer, but it was like there was two targets, and this is the model. It's if I can't get who I want, I'll get nobody. It feels like now that when that works, you end up with Virgil van Dijk, and it's brilliant. But also, it feels like by not pushing that button, it feels like we're scrambling back up the side of that mountain, aren't we? A little bit.
Yeah, and it's difficult because you know if you end up with your fourth choice or your fifth choice midfielder, are they really good enough for what Liverpool want to achieve? That's where it all kind of boils down to, isn't it? But right now, what Liverpool want to achieve is Champions League football. So that fifth choice might just be the guy that can get us there. You know, he might not win us a Premier League, but needs us right now.
And also, to be fair, Dan likes to rant, like to criticize this earlier, they still need more than, they need like three midfielders. So if you've got a list of three, and even if you know you can't get number one, who we all know who number one is, and there's a chance that he goes to Real Madrid or he goes to City anyway, so Chelsea, Arsenal, everyone wants Jude Bellingham.
Yeah.
But if you've got, Liverpool need to have a list of three or four lads, and if they can't, they might not be able to get number one in January, but even if you just get number three and four boxed, or three or four, and then you get to the summer, because again, we are at a point now, because everyone has got older today, there's going to be drastic change at some point, and drastic change is hard. You're better doing what you did with Diaz. Our drastic change of losing Sadio became a bit easier because we'd already had Diaz for 6 months. Doing it all in one hit is hard. So again, that's why January could be important. But again, you've got to get there, and someone's got to be convincing FSG to get the fucking hands out of the pockets as well.
Yeah, 100%. But like you say, I think if you do it incrementally and you were to make one or two, even just to want to do in January, if you bring one of your new midfielders in, you go, like, you've got 6 months now to bed in, it does make the summer easier when Keita and probably Ox inevitably do leave, and who knows what happens with James Milner again this time around. So there's three, a minimum, you're looking to replace, and we need to replace him. I mean, Elliot and Carvalho are both probably going to end up being midfielders. Carvalho, maybe not, but there's two that will be involved in this conversation. But there's no getting away from it now. We can't look from within anymore. There needs to be drastic changes. And I still believe we can get Champions League football, which would be huge for what we want to do. Just because the levels of consistency required to win the league are ridiculous. We've seen that before. But the levels of consistency required to get top four aren't. You know what I mean? I think we're still capable of that, especially
just
if we
need to start winning games.
We do get one or two in January. That'd be really good.
It's usually the answer.
Yeah, I'd like to win some football matches.
That's that one, yeah. Let's
not
start
concede
with that.
In the first 58 seconds. Jesus. Would be
let's
lovely.
Let's start with that. We've got just a Discord one from Quabba. Thanks very much, mate. It says here, the injuries have fucked us sideways and still are because Keita and Ox are taking places in the squad that they shouldn't be. And because the plan was always for Hendo to back up Fab, and he hasn't been able to do it. Which, yeah, the injuries have played the problem. Spot. I think Dan was right, though. Like, my God, maybe Keita and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain are injured. Who would have saw that coming?
Exactly.
I mean, that's why it gets quite frustrating, because I think a lot of the
problem... I can't believe Matip's injured as well. Just
well, a lot... A lot of the problem...
I can, actually.
I can, yeah, you can. And that's the point, you can. A lot of the problems weren't that hard to see. You know what I mean? It was always, if everything works well, there. If everything works badly, there. And we've veered down the left-hand side path. But listen, it is what it is. We are where we are. Liverpool, like I say, starting with Glasgow Rangers this midweek and then moving on forward. So just need to start get their arse back into gear. Hopefully we've helped you be therapeutic discussing the problems. What can be
fixed. For me, actually. Yesterday's final word did not feel like a cathartic experience for me, but this show has made me feel much better.
Me too. And if you want to
I feel like I finally got everything out that I needed to say.
All said and done. If you guys want to get even more Redmen content, like I say, come and join redmenplus.com. Come and join us. We'll huddle together. We'll stay strong together. Strengthen numbers and all that. Because listen, if you're sat on your own misery in the company of how miserable Liverpool are making you at the moment, at least come be miserable with us. Misery loves company. And then we'll hopefully help cheer you up over on Redmen Plus. So I've got the Discord, got the Facebook group. We've got all kinds going on, and some non-specific match day content that can take your mind off the fact that the Reds are absolute bobbins at the moment. we've got your code over on redmenplus.com. Yeah, guys, absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for that conversation. Thanks to all you guys for watching, all this at home. Like I say, do go and check out redmen.com. whoknowswins.com if you want to get involved, 18 plus gamble away, all that kind of stuff. We are about to record the LFC draft as well. That will be on Red Men Plus later on. It is Chris versus Dan selecting 11s each of players signed by Jurgen Klopp. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Good luck to whoever gets the second goalie. There's him for you there. So yeah, come and join us over on Plus later for that one. Come and join us for some amazing content. We'll be back with next week with the Red Men podcast. Until then, I'll catch you all later. Take care.
Thank you so much for that. I hope you enjoyed it. If you want more Red Men in your ears, then consider signing up to redmenplus.com. You get everything that's on the website in video and, if you want it, in podcast form. From £5 a month, redmenplus.com, you get 2 free items of merchandise every single season. If you sign up as a club legend, you get 20% discount codes every single month, exclusive discounts from our partners, as well as your name in the credits and each and every Red Men Plus show.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.